election coverage. Nah, just kidding. We're going to do some sports semi-live from Studio B. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
And this is View from the Bleachers. Guy, how you doing?
Good. It's not View from the Capitol.
No. My guess is you probably can't see it. Probably. No. It's Friday.
Well, it will be
It will be Friday when you hear this. We are doing this on a Tuesday afternoon.
Morning.
Tuesday, was it? Yeah, it's 9:30. It's gray outside. It could be, you know, 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, or 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's a Super Tuesday.
Hey.
Yeah, man.
All the ads will be gone by tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Or by the time you hear it, hopefully it'll be all over.
Yeah, you will have tossed all of your mailing lists and gotten all of these junk text messages out of the way. Just go back to doing regular stuff.
One way or the other.
Oh, yeah.
By the time
you
hear this.
So it's Friday.
Yeah.
Sports. Yeah, man. Sports went on all weekend.
Yeah.
I, once again, thoroughly enjoyed a weekend of sports. Things that happened, we'll run through the review of stuff real quick. The NFL.
NFL.
What's National Football League. It's one of the more popular sporting leagues here in the Americas.
And London.
And in London. Did they have, yeah, that's right, they have another one this weekend.
It's Munich.
Oh, Germany. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Good.
Hi.
Boy, lucky those guys getting out of town for the weekend, man.
Yeah, right.
Way to time that out. Yeah, you know, I like these early games. I don't need them to be in Germany.
Right.
But I do like a 9:30 a.m. kickoff. I really do. It's kind of nice to wake up.
Start the day off.
And start the day off with some very early football and go 12, legit 12 straight hours of nothing but football that does work out for me. So that we'll talk about the NFL. Because as you know, maybe no one else does. It's the trade deadline in the NFL.
Yep.
So there was a little bit of player movement. As far as major leagues go, the trade deadline in the NFL is probably the least consequential.
Yeah, there's not a lot. I mean, teams that got really so far today on a Tuesday, the trades that have happened are because teams desperately, you know, Detroit.
Did Detroit get their defensive lineman?
They got the dessert. Demaryius Smith.
Oh, coming back to the North.
Yeah, great.
He can beat up on the Vikings at least one more time this year.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, no, the NFL making trades is tough to do because there's so much. I mean, you're talking a 70-man roster. 53 make it to the opening day. Everybody has a play that they need to know. They have to know line calls. You have to know the verbiage. You get to know your coaches. It's a lot more than just, say, basketball. Where you make the trade and you go play basketball. You know,
so the major ones that happened so far, we already talked about Amari Cooper.
Sure, last week Amari Cooper went from the
Cleveland
to the Bills.
I'm sure he's happy.
And then he got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt.
And then he got hurt.
Who else? Devontae Adams. Odd Adams. Yeah.
That was the least surprising. That could have happened in the offseason.
That's not going to help them really. I mean,
it hasn't yet. No,
picked up Cam Robinson from the Jaguars,
who I watched get a couple holding penalties in the game.
Well, he got to the practice facility on a Wednesday and he started.
I saw that they showed a little blip during the game. He is the third offensive lineman to get traded midweek and start for his team by Sunday. And the other two that were listed were high-end, Dwayne Brown from the Seahawks, or Bryant McKinney when he got traded to the Dolphins, maybe?
Yeah.
He was a starter right away. But, yeah, normally it takes some time. You got to figure.
But he did all right. I mean, I think he had two attempts, or two whatever they call it, the attempts on set. And not a sack, but.
Sure. He gave up some pressures, but.
Two pressures.
I mean, Yeah, like I said, considering they needed a body, clearly they were in the market for a starting, and Cam Robinson has been a starter. I believe he was a first or a second round pick early in his career, but he's kind of
he's there and he's a good and he's all right. He's not like exceptional.
He looks like
a Christian Darrisaw.
I remember him in college. He looks like he should be a starter. He looks like a front
and
line.
He has been, and he's decent. He's good, and he holds the line because that. It's hard to fill in the shoes of Christian Darrisaw because he was, I think, rated the top 10 O-line, you know. So, but that was one. Today we had Khalil, the Chicago running back.
Oh, Khalil Hibbert? Hibbert?
Yep.
Hibbert. Yeah.
He went to Cincinnati. Traded.
That's my, again, these are
DeAndre
these are
Hopkins
fairly,
proved to be a good.
Oh, DeAndre Hopkins from the Titans to the Chiefs turned out great. Yeah, he had a touchdown last night.
Two
touchdowns last night.
You did.
So it happens when I go to bed. Those are, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is a, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, but he's a Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver, has been his whole career.
Yep.
So that's a, even at the tail end of his career. Makes a nice difference. Yes, he's going to find himself in the Super Bowl this year.
And I don't think anybody else really of consequence so far.
And like I said, generally, in a lot of other sports, you'll see top-of-the-line guys getting traded.
Yep.
In other sports, basketball, you'll see a guy like, you know, Damian Lillard getting traded. You'll see players in baseball, front-line starters getting traded. But generally, with the salary cap, how it is in the NFL, and you've already paid these guys,
right?
They're on a one. A lot of these contracts in the NFL are easy to void anyway,
yep.
So you won't see like Patrick Mahomes getting traded mid-season.
Yeah.
Mid-season, you know, you don't see.
You're gonna roll. I mean, yeah, with the salary cap, and I mean, the draft is more important, I think, to the NFL than any other league.
You know? 100%. You can make a difference.
I mean, they got a floor of people. Every team has got a floor of just scouts and everything else.
Most teams realize the trading for a guy and maybe winning one or two more games with that guy isn't worth the draft capital, because 4 months from now when you have the draft, you could solve all your problems.
Right.
You can go into a season.
Yeah, unless you're Dallas Cowboys.
Unless you're bad at drafting. But if you're bad at drafting, you should get good at hiring a better general manager. That should go.
That could be on a whole other show, but I don't like talking about the Cowboys.
I don't want to give the Cowboys 30 minutes of my time.
No. They're a dumpster fire. Dak's out. CeeDee Lamb's probably out for a couple games.
Yeah. No, living around here, rooting against the Cowboys, I'd assume it's the same on the Vikings side, right? Like, they've had enough bad interactions with the Cowboys as a Vikings fan that you don't like the Cowboys any more than the
one major one.
Oh, that Herschel Walker. That's still 30 years later. You know, when I see Herschel Walker on TV, honestly think about.
That was the equivalent of Carolina Panthers and Chicago Bears.
Yes.
Trade.
Yeah, when they rank the worst trades of all time, that is way higher up on the list than people remember. Yeah.
We
really should do a show. Just the worst general manager moves. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
So, other than that, I mean, the game in Germany is going to be the Giants and the Panthers.
Oof.
What?
I said oof.
Oh.
I almost said oof, duh, but, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
No, two really bad franchises.
Yeah, not trying to build the brand over in Germany too well.
No, I mean, you're just dumping the worst product you could off on them. That's the thing with the European games, is they're getting Jacksonville. They get a lot of Jacksonville. They get, you know,
Patriots in Jacksonville, I think it was last week.
You're getting Carolina, and you're getting Jacksonville. You're getting
Someone's the Giants.
You're not getting teams. I mean, early the first game of the season was going to Brazil.
Yeah,
that turns out to be a great game with two really good teams. That was the premier game. Everything else that they've traveled
with. Who did the schedule? Do you think they? Oh yeah, that'll be a good game.
Well, I mean, the optimist in you says like, okay, maybe.
Or is it the fact that they go, hey, we need two teams to go to Germany. Who do we not care about?
Yeah, who's the least consequential in this? And that could be, too, because Carolina you could forget completely about.
By the way, Bryce Young is on the trade. He's available for trade.
He won a game. He played well enough to win a game yesterday.
Against New Orleans.
Right. Against a team that's terrible.
And fired their coach.
But he won. So
he did look better. I watched the highlights on that.
Yeah.
He actually did look better.
Numbers aren't overwhelming, but I mean, for a 5'4" quarterback, he does pretty well. He's a scrappy little fella.
Little guy.
The trade deadline is
ho-hum.
It really just sort of tells you, okay, NFL season's halfway over.
Well, so it kind of tells you what teams are serious. They think they have a chance, too. You know. I mean, the teams that, you know, Cincinnati, Minnesota, Detroit. I mean, I think Detroit would have been fine without Smith.
Sure.
But
they were
hurt.
Fine. Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
Got another trade as we speak. Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun.
Cowboys are trading.
Ooh.
A second-year wideout from the Panthers.
Oh, yeah. They got a second-round pick. He was Jonathan Mingo.
Oh.
He looks like the real deal. But, you know, when you're Carolina, nobody's good. Yeah. They've traded now Hot two news. Wide receivers away from a team that didn't have wide receiver depth to begin with. They traded their two best.
They should have looked for a running back.
It's just weird. It's odd what Dallas?
Yeah.
Or yeah, you know, well, Dallas is a mess. This is that time of year where as much as the trade deadline isn't important, like you were saying, seeing which teams are serious. Seeing which teams understand the value
which teams are selling.
Seeing teams that see the value of giving up their player and a 7th-round pick to get a 5th-round pick,
right.
A 6th-round pick. Guys that are smart enough around the edges. You know, it's like you're not gonna find a franchise-changing player in these.
Right.
But you will find ways to, say, move up from the
depth.
6th-round really to depth. The 4th-round where you get a guy that makes a difference next year. Or understanding it's worth giving up our 5th-round pick. Like the Chiefs have every year, they give up 4th- and 5th-round picks. It seems like 3rd-round picks. They've given up 2nd-round picks in recent history. The Patriots used to do
That's
it, too.
That's why they've run 2 Super Bowls in a row,
But
too.
When you're drafting at the bottom of those rounds every time, it makes sense to give up your 5th-round pick, which actually just feels like a 6th-round. You know,
high 6th.
And to win, to know that you've got a window. There's certain teams that understand we have there's some teams that know they have a open window. Like, they're not good. They could get, no matter what they do, Carolina, the Raiders. We listed these teams last week that are just awful. Their window is open because they're Giants. There's other teams that have, like, 2 years or where they have a chance this year, maybe next year if it goes right. Teams like the Niners, the Packers, the Vikings.
Yep.
And then there's other teams that are set up for, like,
a chunk
of time. You get Washington Commanders, even a team. Yeah, they're set.
Yeah,
they can. That's a team that can give up 2nd-round, 3rd-round picks to get better.
Little blurb that for the first time since like the early 90s, mid 90s, players want to be traded to Washington.
Right.
First time.
It's
for like ever.
It's amazing what no Daniel Snyder, who was. If anybody's not keeping track at home, the worst owner.
One of
the worst owners in the NFL, which is saying a ton. When you look,
there's
when you
some
list,
really bad
you
ones.
List. Yeah, I was gonna say that's a show I would love to do is the 10 worst, some of the worst owners in Panthers, the Panthers, the Raiders. As much credit as Al Davis got for being Al Davis, that franchise was awful. For a very, very long time, players didn't want to go there.
Yep.
Other teams didn't want to negotiate with
Dallas.
Him. Dallas is the Except same thing.
They've won the last 3 years.
Well, that's and but they
this
also
is now
won.
This is now the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Once again, you know,
Dallas,
I said, this is that's one of those.
Purple Dallas.
That's one of those shows that we could put in the bag for just about any rainy day
because
it's of course it's not just in football. Like terrible ownership just ruins fan bases, right? It makes you not want to. For a long time, the Vikings ownership wasn't that good.
Yeah,
and it really did turn away
people
from wanting to be fans, getting behind. It's hard to get supportive of a Ziggy Wilf, right? Like,
how bad?
Yeah.
No, he's good.
No, who's the one before him?
I don't even remember it at this point.
Right.
He's so bad.
Right, yeah. Brewers had the same thing. They had Bud Selig for a bunch of years, and man, was it hard to root for that used car salesman. Yeah. No, that's the NFL.
You want to still talk about? You want to? I mean,
well, what do we got for coming up? Who are your Vikings? How are your Vikings doing?
They've won, thank God.
Okay,
first half was a tale of two cities, two halves.
Mm-hmm.
First half was rough. You know, we didn't score hardly anything. I think Sam Darnold gave it up, intercepted it twice, fumble. He had a rough start, but unlike other times in his career. Where you had a bad half, it would just continue on in the second.
Sure.
I think with coaching and a new mentality and everything, he looked great the second half.
Yeah, being able to throw the ball to Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, and hand it off to Aaron Jones certainly helps. Having Kevin O'Connell.
Cam Akers
looked good.
Yeah. Really good. So, no, they won, which they needed to win because after two in a row.
No, you start to hit that slide where it's not a panic, but it's an acceptance of, okay, this isn't the.
So now in midway, we're 6-2, which. Whew, most of the experts didn't even have us at that.
No, you could. You know? At the beginning of the season, you could make an argument for everything breaking their way to be 6-2. You know, like if you looked at these games, and we did at the beginning of the season. I mean, 6-2, you could get there.
Right.
But it would take Sam Darnold having a career year. Well, it would have to take an improved offensive line. It would have to take guys you've never heard of on defense stepping up and making turnovers.
Which all of that has
all those things have happened.
So quickly, they play the Jaguars. That's a win.
Yeah.
Titans, that's a win. Bears at this point, that's a win.
9-2. And that's also, by the way, if it gets to that point, I believe Matt Eberflus can be fired by point in the season.
They're talking about it already.
Right. He could be, if you go on a streak where the Bears go from looking real good to Caleb Williams looking like he needs a real coaching. He needs a real coach, and he hasn't had a real coach.
So after the Bears, we have the Cardinals. And then
Cardinals look good, by the way. That's a surprise team that
Minnesota
I like.
Minnesota hasn't had their best of luck with Arizona. It's been kind of a 50-50.
Oh, I remember that. There was that. Yeah. Do you remember that? It was the last game of the year.
Games, they ended with Falcons.
Falcons look again. Yeah, that's a playoff matchup, right? Like
it's a Kirk.
Was he coming home?
Is it home?
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's at Minnesota.
I have found myself, I forgot, I was watching the Falcons on TV over the weekend, and I forgot for just a second, like, there's this scrappy quarterback playing for Atlanta who looked like he's having just the greatest time. He looked like somebody's dad, just having a good old time in jeans.
Yep.
Turns out Kirk Cousins plays for the Falcons, and he looks great, man. He really does energize a franchise. It's interesting to see.
Considering what they've had for the last 5 years, or 3 years.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan
Since
left.
Matt Ryan left, they've been missing a quarterback, and they've really leaned into Kurt, everybody's cousin, playing so well.
Packers have a bye this week?
Yep.
Okay.
They need, and it feels like a need, because if you want to transition to talking about less exciting things, the Packers don't look great.
They got, after they come back from the bye, Bears, they probably win.
Yeah, probably.
They own them. 49ers?
No.
Dolphins?
Yes. I don't like... The Dolphins are really beatable. It feels like when the Dolphins play good teams...
By the time they see the Dolphins, I think they'll have everything humming again, because Tua's back, and he looked really good, though.
Sure.
You know, defense, meh. And then the Lions again.
Oh, man.
At Detroit.
Detroit looks like they should be favored in every game they play, including perhaps an NFC Championship game.
Super Bowl.
They could get all the way to the Super Bowl before anybody is considered better than them. Yeah, for sure. I don't even have to look at their schedule to see.
The only thing that's stopping the Lions is the Lions. I think it's that saying.
Well, yes.
If Jared Goff goes down,
it's why I didn't believe in the Cleveland. It's why I can't believe in the Browns or the Raiders. They're the Browns. So it doesn't matter how good they do. Eventually, they're going to Cleveland Brown. You know, the Bears will bear. The Vikings will lose a Super Bowl.
So right now, and we'll quickly just go through NFL, the standings. Commanders, top of the NFC East, which the Eagles are coming back, though.
But Nick Sirianni's a terrible coach.
He is
losing his team opportunities to win games. It's an oddity where they have enough talent to win, and their coach is bringing them down. Doesn't happen.
Cardinals are number one in the NFC West.
Yeah.
At 5-4.
Yeah.
Rams are coming back, though.
But the Rams look like a good team.
Yep. 49ers do not, unless they get CMC back, maybe.
I mean, but even then, let's say you get him back and you're three games under 500. Do you really need him to play? I mean, I guess a team like that, their window is short. Like, that is a team that has one of those this year, maybe next year, windows to win a Super Bowl. So it's real unfortunate that he gets hurt, but it's, that's a team that's going to miss their window.
So
if they
obviously
can't this
the
year.
North, you got the Lions, Vikings, then Packers, and then the Bears.
Yeah, right. Lined up, three of those four teams should make the playoffs.
Falcons and Buccaneers. Buccaneers look good with not having the two top receivers, too.
Yeah. So. That team has been sneaky good. Their general manager, I don't know who he is or what he's doing.
John Light, former.
That's not John Lynch. He's with the Niners.
Used to be with the Patriots. I can't remember.
Yeah, me either. But they have put together a consistently good franchise. I mean, they're winning divisions that aren't good, but hey, you got to win.
On the other side, Bills. Bills look good.
They look like the second best team in the AFC.
Yep.
Sure.
Then Jets, Dolphins, Patriots. Nope. Chiefs, obviously. Chargers are Broncos.
I mean, I got that Chargers thing kind of feels like that's the same kind of. I forget about the Chargers. They signed Jim Harbaugh in the offseason. I still forget all about him. They have Justin Herbert, one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But that's a team that's never going to win. They're going to be 9-8.
I always give, when the new coach comes in, I give them that 1 year just to make every adjustments. We'll see what they're like next year. The North, AFC North. Steelers are on top. Ravens right behind him. I think Ravens offensively.
I mean, Mike Tomlin is having his best in a long time, best coaching job. He's doing an incredibly good job with that
team.
He
always does.
But this is winning games with Justin Fields is hard. Winning games with Russell Wilson is way harder than you would have thought.
Yeah.
And he is just pointing them in the right direction every single week. Not exciting. Their defense, T.J. Watt, is playing incredible.
When you're the third coach of an organization.
Correct.
You know?
You've got the leash. He's got a leash where he can make a choice. Like, we're going to sign Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. There's certain teams in the league that if they would have done that, their coach is getting fired. Yep. Their GM is going to lose his job if you get those. If that's your quarterback room, that was considered the worst quarterback room in the league. And now, maybe one of the better ones because
defense
both of those
wins championships.
Correct. Yeah.
Texans are number one in the South.
That's an underwhelming division.
Texans aren't looking.
No. It's one of those we talked about.
It started off hot.
It's the punch counter punch.
Yeah.
They were a team that was really successful. There's tape on how successful they were. CJ Stroud, you know, like they're seeing what this offense and defense can really do. And so now you're getting kind of a regression to what they can do.
Who do you think is the worst team right now in the NFL?
Oh, Carolina. Undoubtedly. Carolina, I don't care how many games Carolina wins. They are terrible. They have no quarterback.
Saints?
No, because they still have there's some real talent on that Saints roster that is not on Carolina. Carolina has the worst GM. Probably one of the lesser coaches. It's got the least amount of talent.
Jags are right there, though, too, man.
And again, they at least have a Trevor Lawrence. You know, like they have somebody on that team.
Which hasn't looked great.
They have two former number one picks on that roster. Carolina has one, but that guy's not good. Carolina to me is the clear worst team in the league. It doesn't matter what
the Saints are.
The Saints fired their coach, which.
When you do that in mid-season, it's never a good thing.
Well, the problem with Carolina had no expectations. The Saints at least had some expectations to maybe be a playoff team because
you get 1 year.
Again, when you have a quarterback making $40 million a year like they do, you're never in a rebuild. You have to try to make the playoffs with David Carr, even if he's David Carr. You have to try to make the playoffs with Jordan Love, even when he's playing like
Jordan Love.
When he's playing like a bad version of Brett Favre, you can't rebuild.
Yep.
The entire NFL because there is a couple things I wanted to check off the list. We have baseball. I know it doesn't look like baseball
it's
season.
Done.
Baseball is done, which means it's award season in baseball.
Do you want to talk about that World Series?
World Series was the Dodgers won.
Yeah.
The Dodgers beat the Yankees. A ton of money was spent. Aaron Judge played awful.
Shohei Ohtani didn't play great. He was injured, though.
Yeah. No, the Dodgers showed their depth.
The gritty
Freddie
team,
Freeman though. Had four home runs in five games.
He had a home run in
He had a home run in five games in a row, so he was the MVP. The Dodgers spent a ton of money. Yep. Those were the two teams. You could have picked them at the beginning of spring training, not watched a single inning of baseball, picked them at the beginning of the playoffs, and watch the World Series and be like, hey, this was a great season. But it was pretty easy to predict. Those were the two best teams. They got all the way there.
Yep.
But the Dodgers won their eighth championship in a row, second behind the Yankees at 18 championships.
I mean, Shohei Ohtani feels good.
Well, it's a lot of premier talent. You know, for the league, it's fantastic because you get to see from both coasts the best players that money can buy.
Right.
For the rest of the league, watching as a Brewers fan, you're like, wow, Brewers couldn't afford any single player on that roster.
Yeah, right.
They could not put together a team with one of those guys that featured on either of those teams. So baseball's over. They awarded the Gold Gloves, and I won't bore you with the list of everyone who won in the American and National League, but I will get you excited about Sal Frelick, outfielder for the Brewers, and Bryce Terang, a second baseman for the Brewers, both won their first Gold Glove.
Oh.
And all year, they were fantastic in the field. They were one of the reasons the Brewers had a lot of defensive talent, which doesn't really show in baseball like it does in other sports.
Right.
You don't get to see a great block or a sack, you know, in baseball, but you get to see guys in the right position getting to the baseball before it hits the ground.
Sure.
Brewers did that better than anybody in the league. Bryce Terang was a 300 hitter. By the time the season ended, he was a pretty decent hitter, led the league in steals. But he was the best second baseman defensively in the league. He won. Sal Frelick hit 260. He was a very underwhelming hitter, sat at the 8 hole in the lineup all year. Didn't do anything offensively, but he played 150 games because he was the incredibly good right fielder. Jackson Chourio played really well in the outfield. He was nominated, but those were the guys that won.
Sure.
Nominated also for the Silver Slugger Award, which is the best hitter in the National League. Amongst them for shortstops was Willie Adames, who hit 260, 30-some home runs, 120 RBIs. Willem Contreras, who hit, God, I think he got his average up to like 290 by the end of the year, was one of the best hitting, if not the best hitting overall catcher in the league. And then Jackson Chourio, who by the end of the year was 25 steals, 25 home runs.
So how many of those guys are going to be there on the team next year?
All of them.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's the nice thing about about how baseball works with free agency is it's a slow crawl to lose a guy as a free agent.
Sure.
You get years and years to sign him, trade him, figure out what to do with him, how to... You can sign the guy to really cheap contracts for like 3 or 4 years in baseball before you eventually have to sign him to a Willie Adames deal that he's going to get in the offseason where you let him go. No, the Brewers are coming back with everyone besides Willie Adames next year. Is gonna be back with the roster. So I was pretty excited to see all of that. Yeah. And that'll be the end of baseball talk for real until spring. Right up until about February or March, and then we'll start talking. This is why the Brewers are going to win the World Series.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Boy, we did good work today.
Yeah.
What else in 2 short minutes can we talk about?
Bucks.
Bucks are awful.
There you go.
That was good talk. I've watched them now. They've been there 1-5, 1-6.
1-6, I think.
1-6. They had 2 games on the ESPN. And they have not. They don't play defense. Man, they're champions.
Wasn't the reason that they got rid of their old coach because they couldn't play defense?
Man, the reason they got rid of their coach Adrian Griffin, who was in first place in the East last year when they fired him, was because apparently Giannis didn't like him so much.
Wonder how that's working out for him now.
Man, it's working out awful because they signed Doc Rivers, who's the most overrated coach in the game. I don't know how he keeps going from announcer to fired coach to announcer to fired coach to announcer, but now he'll soon be fired coach again. He has to be. They're not playing defense. Giannis Antetokounmpo is one of the best defensive players of a generation. He should be able to make a difference. Dame Lillard, who they traded for and gave up their best defensive, they gave up Drew Holiday.
What did Drew Holiday do last year?
He ended up winning a championship with the Celtics as their best perimeter player.
Really?
On a championship-level team. He guarded the best players, was the best player on the court for a couple games. The Brewers gave up as much as they possibly could to get rid of him and upgrade with big quotation marks to Dame Lillard, who has done nothing but forget how to...
Do anything?
He plays good offense. He's 35 years old. He's not a young... guy, he's not a big guy, but he is not also not a good defensive player.
15
They've looked
seconds.
Terrible. The Badger basketball team, they also beat Holy Cross by like 20 last night. It was nice to see their new rotation. We're going to talk about them next week because they have essentially a whole new team coming back, and I want to talk more about that than I did the trade deadline this time. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye.